Good morning. Welcome to the Tuesday, February 18th meeting of the Senate Committee on Rules. Good morning, members. Thank you for being here. Senator Burdick will be with us shortly, and we have three bills to hear. We're going to take them in order. And I'll start by opening a public hearing on Senate Bill 1504. And Erin, would you tell us about this bill?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Senate Bill 1504 expands the list of prior violations that prohibit individual from becoming circulator, amends time period for which circulator's criminal records check is valid, permits name of candidate nominated for more than one district office to appear on ballot more than once, permits elector who submitted ballot in unsigned returned identification envelope to remain on active voter registration rolls, resolves discrepancy regarding day on which challenged ballots may be released to public, resolve certification date discrepancy for write-in ballots, limits prohibition on electioneering to business hours, permits person to show person's own marked ballot to another person. There is no revenue impact. We are still awaiting the fiscal statement on this measure. This measure was a committee bill that we heard during interim days in January.
Thank you, Erin. And I see the Secretary of State's office is in the room. Would you like to come forward and testify? Good morning, and welcome to the Senate Rules Committee.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Gina Zedlick. I am Chief of Staff for Secretary of State Kate Brown. And I went over this bill and when it was in its LC form in great detail, and it has not changed since then. So I'll just go over the highlights, and then if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. In my mind, actual true housekeeping, so I'll skip that part. I think the more substantive parts of it have to do with paid circulators. We make two changes in the bill that affects them. First of all, already in law, we prohibit certain people who have been convicted of crimes from being paid circulators. What we do is add very specific election law, what we consider the most egregious election law violations, things like using threats or intimidation for purposes of extorting money or paying people for their signature, that kind of thing. If they have been found in violation of that, they cannot be a paid signature gatherer. In addition, we're making sure that when they turn in background checks as part of their registration process, that that background check makes them, and if we approve them, that their registration is valid for the entire two-year period, so they don't have to renew that, and it aligns with the timeline of gathering signatures for ballots. So that's sort of the two main changes that affect paid signature gatherers. The other highlights I would draw your attention to is district elections and some of the timelines for specifically for write-in candidates to respond to accept candidacy. When some dates were changed a couple sessions ago, moving their elections from March to May, some of these timelines weren't changed, so some county clerks have been in the tough position where write-in candidates are allowed to respond about their acceptance of candidacy after the election is certified. So we're making sure that they do that before the election is certified and just aligning all those timelines. And finally, we make some changes in ORS 260695. Right now, there is a fairly broad prohibition against electioneering that applies once ballots have been mailed until Election Day, and the bill provides a slight narrowing of that. We just say we limit the electioneering to business hours when the public building is open. So when we consider that there may be harm or undue influence, that sort of narrows it a little bit, but still gives us some parameters. So I think if there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Great. Thank you for your testimony. Any questions? Looks like you answered them all.
Great.
Thanks a lot. Okay, and we have two more people signed up to testify on this, and members, I'll also point out that there is testimony posted in OLIS on this bill in addition to the people that you're about to hear from, and that would be Cappy Eaton, if you'd like to come forward, and Rob Beauvais, if you'd both like to come forward. We've got plenty of room.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. Welcome to the Senate Rules Committee. And whoever would like to go first, go ahead.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Cappy Eaton, the governance coordinator for the League of Women Voters of Oregon. We watch carefully each session what the Secretary of State's office and the Elections Division decide to do their ominous...
ominous is correct.
You know what I mean.
Omnibus and ominous.
Which corrects things that they have discerned are important. And I'm not going to read my testimony. You have it. But we do agree with the issues that they've raised in this particular bill that needed correcting, and particularly having to do with the electioneering, because we feel people... voters have the right to participate and to electioneer. And so this really defines where they can and can't be on an election day, and why we think that's important. It does clarify and enlarge the ability of people who want to oppose or support particular bills. So we think that one's important. And also the extension for the violations of paid petitioner gatherers, we think is very important. But each of them does address an issue that needed to be addressed, and we commend the division for doing that. Thank you.
Great. Thank you for your testimony.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Rob Bovet. I'm legal counsel for the Oregon Association of County Clerks. The county clerks have gone through this bill in detail, and we like all of the proposed improvements to the Oregon election laws provided in this bill, and happy to answer any questions. Urge you to support this bill.
Thank you. Any questions? Okay, thank you both for your testimony.
Thank you.
And that completes our sign-up sheet. Is there anyone else here to testify on Senate Bill 1504? Okay, and unless the fiscal has come in while we were hearing it, we're not ready to move this. So maybe it'll come in by the end of the hearing today, though. It's possible. The snow seems to have delayed some of the LFO paperwork. So we'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 1504 and open a public hearing on Senate Bill 1515. Erin, would you like to tell us about this?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, Senate Bill 1515 establishes work group to examine feasibility of internet voting, requires work group to report findings to Legislative Assembly before December 1, 2014. There is an emergency clause on this measure. There is a no revenue impact and a minimal fiscal impact statement was issued. This did have a subsequent referral to Ways and Means. We do have permission to rescind that referral because of the minimal fiscal impact statement.
Great. Thank you, Erin. And we do have several people signed up to testify on the bill. Senator Starr, it is your bill.
Yes.
You want to...
Yeah, so I appreciate, Madam Chair, you hearing the bill. I also acknowledge that there's a certain concern about this particular bill. I brought it to us as legislators after I had the opportunity to travel and look at internet voting and the use of the internet to do a variety of government activities in the country of Estonia. I understand the concern here from certain individuals, but I don't think this predisposes an outcome. It doesn't necessarily say that the state of Oregon is going to move in this direction, but I think it's really important for us as legislators to get all the facts on the table. And this asks the Secretary of State to really to look, scan what's available as it relates to this particular topic and report back to us so that we can have the facts, and at that point a future legislature can decide what to do with that information. Getting all of the facts on the table, I think, is important. From my perspective, I'm not prejudging the outcome of this, and I recognize there's a certain number of folks that have and say that this isn't a good idea to even look at it. I don't think there's harm necessarily in having the Secretary of State take a look at what is out there and report back to us, and then future legislators can decide what to do with that information. So, Madam Chair, again, I recognize that with at least when in a certain segment of our electorate, there's concern about this. I do believe it's a worthy cause to take a look at. I'd ask that the committee, listen to the testimony. We're going to have some. There's information posted online. But I would hope that we would consider it and allow the opportunity for the Secretary of State to get all the facts on the table. I'm not, from my perspective, prejudging the outcome, but I just think it's important for us to get all the information available.
Great. Thank you for that introduction. Yes, Senator Beyer.
Just a question. I don't know, probably more appropriately directed to the Secretary of State's office, but didn't the Secretary of State do this for the military in the last election?
Well, we have actually Rob Bovet signed up to testify for the county court, so he can probably answer that question. And since I called him already, how about we call Rob Bovet to come forward? Should have just had you stay up here, but welcome back.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, again, for the record, Rob Bovet, legal counsel for the Oregon Association of County Clerks. The county clerks are pretty much in the same position that was just described by Senator Starr. They are not in any way saying that this is a good idea to actually do this, but they're not opposed to studying it. So if it should be the committee's desire that we look at the options here and we have the Secretary of State coordinate that, the county clerks are essentially, for lack of a better word, willing to play ball and investigate this matter. I suspect, and this may change your opinion on the bill, actually, I suspect they're going to assign me to do that for them. So maybe that makes it more desirable or less desirable, depending on how you look at it. Happy to answer any questions you might have.
Okay, any questions? And I think there was a question posed by Senator Beyer, which was, did the Secretary of State already adopt a form of internet voting for overseas military members? Which we could ask the Secretary of State to answer. I believe that's true.
That is true. There is a mechanism for that to occur. There's actually an online voters pamphlet and a whole lot of stuff that she's done online to facilitate that. I'm not sure.
They're in the room.
Yeah, I'm not sure the inner workings of it, though.
To come forward. Okay. So the Secretary of State has not signed up, but would you like to come forward and just tell us how that works?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Brenda Bays. I'm the Deputy Director for the State Elections Division. And how the military and overseas voting happens is they actually can get the ballot online, HTML ballot. They vote that ballot. They also sign a return envelope, and they scan those in and fax it or email it to the county elections office. It's not actually internet voting.
A form. That clarifies that. Thank you very much for coming forward. Okay, now I'll go back to the sign-up sheet, and I'll call Janet Deisinger, Mac Woods, and Roxanne Ross, if the three of you would like to come forward. Looks like Mac Woods is not here.
Well, he was having difficulty hearing you, so he's looking for someone to give him the headset.
Oh, okay. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee, Vice Chair Farrelly and Chair Rosenbaum. I wanted to point out, I sent you my testimony.
Did you say your name already?
I'm sorry, excuse me. My name is Janice Deisinger, and I'm from Gresham, Oregon. I sent you my testimony, but just briefly I wanted to bring out, we learned from Edward Snowden that there is no computer, hard drive, digital communication device, or any web service that the NSA cannot penetrate. We know the IRS knows all about a lot about our finances, and recently they have apologized for targeting certain groups, and we believe that's for political purposes. Obamacare is going to know all about our health. The FDA can approve or disapprove of certain cancer treatments. With Brzezinski Clinic, we've seen that. The TSA searches us when we get on an airplane. The FTC knows about our credit ratings. And when the advancement of computer technology is advancing so much every year, and being able to take all of these different points, they can build quite a file on a person and know a lot about them. So why would we give them our electronic ballot and have it connected to our computer while we're processing it? The overseas ballots, as I understand it, they fill out their form and then fax it in. They've lost their anonymity when they submit those ballots. And I believe that's what we would be doing, because an IP address is identifiable. They'll at least know where it came from, if not exactly who it came from. We see how Google is trying to get us to just be able to sign in or with a particular identity when you go on onto their service. Our founding fathers wanted the power to remain with the people, and with all of this other power that we see accumulating with the government, and the NSA is, as I understand it, is a $60 billion government organization that's regulated by a secret court, and it's unanswerable to the people. And we see that it's violating our Fourth Amendment rights by searching our papers. So I would just encourage you to please vote no on this. Absolute power that they would accumulate could corrupt absolutely. We also have enemies. Our country has enemies that would love to target us, and I think this would just give them another opportunity. Oregon's recent history has demonstrated that we're not capable of building a secure web portal right now, with Cover Oregon. And the crash of the Secretary of State's website didn't boost our confidence. So I don't believe there's any way to vote securely and anonymously. And I would ask you to please vote no on Senate Bill 1550, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony, and I think Mac Woods has joined us, and we did call you to testify, so when you're ready, you can just come forward. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Madam Chair and Committee. My name is Roxanne Ross, and I live in Gresham, Oregon. So I think that even sending it out for review is a step in the wrong direction. You know, our elections have been the envy of the world, but we're just sliding toward Big Brother having more control and us having less. And it's not what necessarily would happen in an election, although that is actually, you know, too big a chance that it would happen. But it's the appearance of impropriety. It's the appearance of we can put that vote in and anything could happen to it. One of the things that the Edward Snowden papers showed is that the NSA can set up a dummy website, and let's say it's Target, and you're going to the Target website, and it can slip its own Target website in there, and you think you're interacting with the one, and you're actually interacting with an NSA one. That's how far the technology is. And if the NSA has it, then other places are right behind. This is just a step in the wrong direction. If we're going to have the kind of election where people could hold up their inked thumb and feel that their vote counted, then it has to be something less impersonal and less penetrable than a computer. And we don't want to feel that our elections have been stolen away. And it would be impossible to think that these couldn't be stolen away. I went to a credit union seminar where they were talking about the hacking of companies' websites, and how it was an astronomical figure, like 80%. It was almost all of them, the cases. You don't even discover you've been hacked until someone notices it by the outcome. And this is this is terrible when you have so many businesses with so many consultants trying to catch that, and so much software trying to catch that hacking. They are just always a step behind the hackers. We don't want to have our votes left to that kind of uncertainty. We would like to feel that our vote makes a difference. And this is would just be an example of our state legislature thumbing their nose at our vote by sending this out for more review to go in that direction when we would like the inked thumb to be more the direction that we go.
Okay, thank you for your testimony. And please go ahead, and if you could start by saying your name for the record and then just give your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is MacArthur Woods. I live in the Canby area. I have been involved with listening to a lot of people. I'm discovering this thing ain't even working either, so I'm going to give up on this.
Oh, dear.
It don't work good. I'm concerned about the truth. I swore when I went into the Navy to support and defend the Constitution of the United States of America, and that means a lot to me and other veterans. I put in over 20 years continuous active duty. I service connected, even though I put in 20 years, I got a BUMED waiver to stay in because my job was important. 3 trips to Vietnam. Politicians and congressmen call it tours, and I'm here to tell you it's everything except a tour, and it dang sure ain't a vacation. We are concerned about the truth. When you have in Multnomah County more people voted for the President of the United States last election than you had registered voters, you don't have to have any college degree to figure out there's voter fraud. We are concerned about voter fraud. We want you to hear us, particularly us veterans. I don't see out of the left eye. My hearing's bad, and now this thing don't work. It helped to spend a few cotton-picking dollars and get something that veterans could at least listen when we come to a meeting like this. I'm still working to pay my taxes. We see stuff and hear stuff that we know, common sense, somebody needs to take a walk, resign. If they can't be honest, honor the Constitution of the United States, we don't need you. Whoever you might be, you know the cotton-picking rules. I know the rules. Truth means a lot to me, particularly when it comes time to vote. That's what this Constitution was founded on, truthfulness. Way before you and your great-great-great-grandpa and grandmas were built, and mine too. So we are interested in truthfulness, and you know how Mickey Mouse the elections have been. You don't have to get it from me, get it from the facts. So whenever you can get this voter thing, Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck and all them registered to vote and they get counted, there's something wrong. You don't have to be a brain surgeon to figure out common sense. We want you to listen to us. We want to hear you because we're going to vote. And this next election is going to separate out the Mickey Mouse. Well, out of respect, I can't say what us sailors sometimes say. I was on the same river John Kerry was on in Vietnam. Turu, they called it. His total active duty was less than 3 months, as you know. I never met him personally. I talked to the crew after he left. They seemed to think it was a self-inflicted wound. How do you get 3 Purple Hearts in less than 3 months active duty? Let me tell you something. As a well-established sailor, it don't happen. There's something wrong. We need to get truth brought out under the Constitution for the freedom that many, unlike me, I come back, but many gave it all. We want you to hear us, Senator Starr, Senators, all of you. We want some honest voters, head off the irresponsible, trying to be respectful. It's hard to be respectful with some when you know what I know and what you know deep inside. So let's head off this voter fraud by heading off this computer technology, which gives somebody wants more of the free stuff. Well, I pay a lot of taxes, and we want it to come to a stop. Thank you for listening, for hearing me. Appreciate your time.
Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you for your testimony. Thank you for your service. Any questions?
Yeah, I'm open for questions. I know the answers of reality. Thank you for asking.
Thank you all for your testimony. Next, I'll call Sandy Radu, Brad Morrison, and Rebecca Roth. And while you're getting settled, I just wanted to mention that we do, if you've submitted written testimony, we do have it already. So if you could please just not read your testimony, but summarize what you have to say, because we do have a lot of people to testify this morning. And please go ahead.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Sandy Radu, and I live in Beaverton, Oregon. And as a 30-year software engineering professional, this particular bill is right in my wheelhouse. I would strongly urge a no vote on this bill because the technology just simply isn't there yet. I have submitted hundreds of pages of articles to you for your review, but I'd like to just say, among other things, there's a research in your binder. There is a research article on the state of elections in Estonia. It's more detailed and more research that was done very recently over there. The counting machines that we currently use in our elections office, some of those are 20 years old. And the reason they're so old is it takes the federal government 10 years to certify election machines, to have it go through their process. There is no way, it is impossible, that we can certify every home computer, every smartphone, every tablet, every library computer, every internet cafe, every possible system that would be used for internet voting. As we all know, everything out there is vulnerable to attacks from a minor spam bot kind of attack all the way to very malicious Trojan viruses and things like that. We cannot control what's on those computers, and until we can control the election environment, which we have a responsibility to do, until we can control that environment, I would strongly urge we do not consider any internet voting now or going forward. And if I may just read a couple things from my testimony. There are also very many articles in there about the system the Secretary of State is currently using for overseas voting and for the military. There are lots of holes in that system. I don't think there was certainly no intent of doing something not secure for our military, but I would urge you to take a look at those articles and realize just where those problems are and where they can greatly be accented if we add this internet voting. One of the quotes I have is from National Institute of Technology. Because of the difficulty of validating and verifying software on remote electronic voting system servers and personal computers, ensuring remote electronic voting systems are auditable largely remains a challenging problem, with no current or proposed technologies offering a viable solution. Remote internet voting systems pose significant risk to the integrity of the voting process and should not be for use in public elections until substantial technical and social science issues are addressed. The security risks associated with these systems are both numerous and pervasive, and in many cases cannot be resolved using even today's most sophisticated technology. And there's many more in your binder. I'm not gonna take your valuable time today, but please take a look at it and understand that this risk to the integrity of our elections, or the appearance of risk to the integrity of our elections, is far too great to consider at this point. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Please go ahead.
Hello. This bill doesn't stand alone, of course. Rebecca Roth.
Yeah.
Salem, Oregon.
Thank you.
This bill doesn't stand alone, of course. It stands with other attempts to take the vote away from citizens and allow us not to be able to see what's going on. The last session that we had had a bill that passed that was going to make all births and deaths secret government information, which was passed inside of another bill, that was, it wasn't a straightforward bill. And so there's people who are hidden behind the scenes, I don't know who they are, who are trying to destroy our election integrity. And I want to call your attention to the fact that Nancy Pelosi, this just was in the news for having received the Margaret Sanger Award. And in case you're not familiar with Margaret Sanger, she was eugenicist in the Democrat Party, and she called for the KKK to stop lynching people and to get into positions of power to try to corrupt the system. And you need to watch out for people who are behind the scenes trying to destroy our election integrity and to destroy our freedom. In case you think Margaret Sanger's Negro Project was in the past, Nancy Pelosi just received a Margaret Sanger Award. Do you think she received that because she was not doing what Margaret Sanger would have liked her to do? The passage of Obamacare and the disruption of our elections is because there's a bigger plan behind the scenes, and those of you who are in the Democrat Party need to watch out for those people who are trying to be in the background implementing the Negro Project. So in case you're not familiar with it, I'd be glad to talk with you in private afterwards.
Okay, and thank you for your testimony. And if people could speak to this bill, that would be great.
I was speaking to this bill. The Negro Project is to get people in policy decisions to destroy the election integrity and to cause families to self-destruct and to create policy that destroys our liberty. And the Negro Project is very much alive and well if you start examining it. So I want you to understand that there are people behind the scenes putting out things like this to destroy us.
Please go ahead. Yeah, you.
My name is Brad Morrison. I live in Woodburn, Oregon. I'm a member of OCL, Oregon Citizens Lobby. I was going over Senate Bill 1515 last night and just read briefly through it in the summary, which establishes a work group to examine the feasibility of internet voting. And I would first like to add that I've been a target of being hacked. I was one of the folks that got hacked during the Target scan this past Christmas season, and I hadn't even shot the Target since last August. Anybody's vulnerable to internet scamming and hacking and so forth. And I'd say that as it stands, the integrity of the vote-by-mail system alone is suspect. So to be venturing into the territory of voting by internet is just about the worst step that could be made, particularly at this time. I mean, I would say personally that examining the feasibility of internet voting has pretty much already been established with the pretty much defunct rollout of KidsCare. I mean, the state couldn't even sell insurance to a targeted group that was more or less a captive audience. And we spent how many millions on that? And now we're going to try voting on the internet? That does just sound like a really horrible idea. I wouldn't trust that as far as I could throw it. So just personally saying, no, please vote no on 1515.
Thank you for your testimony. Any questions for these good folks?
In case you are unaware of it, this last week there was a rally against an ID voter law, which also is to help the ID voter identification of voters is very important for us to have election integrity, which this bill is very much against. And the people who came to that rally had to have voter ID, had to have ID, picture ID. So it's important that
Rebecca,
we have picture ID.
Just say your name again for the record.
Rebecca
so.
Roth. It's
and
important that
if you
we
could
have
just wrap
picture
up.
ID, and it's important that we have election integrity. And I really, these two people said everything I would like to say also. Thank you.
Okay, thank you all three for your testimony. And we have one more person signed up to testify, and that's Les Poole, if you'd like to come forward, Les.
Sorry.
And you're going to get the last word, so. Please
say
your name for the record and go ahead.
Les Poole. I live in Gladstone, Clackamas County. I hate to give you my resume, but lifelong Oregonian and been politically active for about 20 years. I knew Senator Starr's father, and he did a great job. I had my concerns about vote by mail from word go. Vote by mail is a double-edged sword, and we'd all be kidding ourselves if we didn't admit that. I find it somewhat troubling at times that we hear over and over that it's so difficult for people to vote. They can't get away to vote. They're disenfranchised. The positive thing about vote by mail is that it ended the long lines at the polls. Vote by mail certainly is not today's topic, but the convenience of vote by mail now takes us to a point where, let's make it easier to vote. I believe that if you can't establish and prove your residency and have a reasonable threshold for identification proof, then maybe you're not serious about being active and voting. It's not that hard to vote anymore. So the idea that with all the good things about the internet, that we would now take the time, money, and energy to bring internet voting to Oregon, I believe is a position that's not founded in good common sense. It really isn't, and that's no insult to anyone that's promoting this idea. The security on the internet is worse than we're hearing, and I think you all know that. You set up a database, whether it's for healthcare, whether you're running Target, whatever you do, unfortunately, there are too many unscrupulous people that would have the ability to cheat and to abuse the system. So I'm really opposed to 1515. While I support everything we can do to make voting and educated voters a part of the process, again, I think that this is the wrong direction, and I am opposed to it. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony. Okay, and that completes our list of people to testify on Senate Bill 1515. I'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 1515, and I'll open a work session on Senate Bill 1515. Senator Farrioli?
Madam Chair, I'd like to make a statement for the record before I make a motion on this bill. And it speaks to legislative intent, and I think it's something that I'll also deal with on the floor so that there'll be a clear record of legislative intent. First of all, I believe everything I've heard in testimony today at this hearing. I believe it. I'm as concerned as the folks that I've heard voice their concerns, but I believe also that the politics of fear has no place in Oregon, that what we need to do is arm ourselves with knowledge, because that's where the power is. So I fully expect that this study, if it goes forward, and that's up to the whole legislature, if this study goes forward, I fully expect a vetting of all of the ways the electronic voter system could be compromised, hacked, subverted. In other words, I don't want a foregone conclusion. I don't think that's the purpose of this bill. Experts have testified today, I speak to the lady whose wheelhouse we're in, that there's already ample indication that we haven't evolved in our electronic IT systems far enough, Madam Chair, to guarantee integrity in this idiom, in this electronic world that we live in. I have a letter from a constituent in Albany, Wendy Frome, who suggests that we still don't know who's hacked the Secretary of State's website or why it's down, whether it's a foreign power or whether it's a domestic influence. But somebody has taken the trouble to hack the Secretary of State's system, and it's down. So there's an indicator. I expect this report to start from the premise that we're already compromised. And I'll be interested to see the report explore all the ways in which we should be worried about taking a system that I think has great integrity and turning it into a system that might have none. But I'm going to support the concept of a study because knowledge is power. And I refuse to live in a place that is fearful of asking a question. We should always be courageous in the questions that we ask. Perhaps we wouldn't be where we are in Cover Oregon had we been more aggressive in asking questions. But, Madam Chair, having said all that for the record to demonstrate legislative intent, I move SB 1515 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. And there is a subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means, and I move that that referral be rescinded.
Thank you. Senator Farioli has moved Senate Bill 1515 to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and that the subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means be rescinded. Is there discussion?
Yes.
Senator Starr.
So, I appreciate the testimony this morning, and those are all the questions that we need to have addressed in this conversation about this issue. Again, as I stated at the outset, I am not prejudging the outcome of this. Let's put all these issues on the table, and if the testimony that we've heard today ultimately is the testimony that the Secretary of State sees, we can put this issue to bed perhaps once and for all. But again, I align myself with the comments of Senator Farioli. We shouldn't be afraid to look at these issues. And I appreciate the opportunity to have the Secretary of State. And I'm guessing that individuals that are in this room are going to be bird-dogging this issue as it goes through that study process to ensure that the questions get answered, and then we can come back perhaps, again, if this bill moves through this legislature this year, a future legislature can come back and look at all those facts and be well informed, and we can then make a decision going forward. So I appreciate the testimony today. It's not lost on me at all. I heard it loud and clear, and I appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Senator Starr. Senator Beyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I, too, want to join in Senator Farioli's comments. As someone who, like one of the gentlemen said, had their credit card hacked, I've had to replace debit cards and credit cards at least 3 or 4 times over the last few years. I spend a large part of my time on a private board that oversees the electrical grid for the western United States, and one of our major concerns is grid safety being hacked. And I also spent a number of years on a large credit union board of directors where we ended up paying to cover expenses from hacked things. So I get it. I get it. If I were voting on doing it today, my vote would absolutely be no. But the other side, I know, and frankly have marveled at, young people live by these things and computers. And as we look ahead, we have to look at how we can change things. There's both potentials for cost savings. But more importantly, I think it's important for democracy that we encourage as many people as possible to vote. Hopefully they're informed voters. That one we have a little more trouble with. But times will change. So I think it makes sense to study the issue and see what's out there. And I appreciate the work that Sandy, I'm not going to try and pronounce your last name. I'll probably get it wrong. This is a nice piece of work, and I appreciate that. It's a good starting place, and so we ought to look at that. My gut level is that we're going to find that it's not quite ready for prime time, but it's worth taking a look to make sure that we have a functioning democracy and that things can work. So I'm supportive of that. So, Madam Chair, I will be voting in support of this morning.
Thank you, Senator Beyer, for your comments. And we do have a motion before us. Zoe, would you please call the roll?
Senator Burdick?
Excused.
Senator Beyer?
Aye.
Senator Starr?
Aye.
Vice Chair Farioli?
Aye.
Chair Rosenbaum?
Aye. Motion carries.
And Madam Chair, at the risk of being redundant, my intent in moving the bill forward is to make sure that all the ways in which electronic voter system can be compromised are the topic of the study group, and that lest we fail to learn from our previous errors, that the county clerks be invited to participate fully, early, not later, and that the point of view represented by the testimony that we heard here today be represented on that study group.
Thank you, Senator Farioli, and certainly the county clerks are represented in the room, as well as I see now the head of the Elections Division and the Secretary of State's office. So I am confident for all those who testified that you will be included in any discussion as this bill moves forward in the form of a task force, and certainly no one is prejudging the outcome of a discussion about electronic voting. Any changes in our election system would have to be presented in the form of future legislation that would get ample testimony and, I'm sure, vigorous debate. So rest assured. Senators, and so the motion has carried, and Senator Starr, would you like to carry this on the floor?
Sure.
Great. Okay, I'll close the work session on Senate Bill 1515 and open a public hearing on Senate Bill 1564.
And Aaron. Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 1564 establishes defective ballot boards to inspect ballots that cannot accurately be tallied by vote tally system, requires county clerk to submit additional records to Secretary of State relating to ballot security, requires county clerk to keep number of ballots that does not exceed 5% of total number of ballots mailed for use as replacement ballots, requires Secretary of State to develop system ensuring security and integrity of ballots collected and delivered by third parties. There is an emergency clause on this measure. You do have a -1 amendment. The amendment was posted in accordance with your chamber rules regarding the ability to take action on it. It clarifies that defective ballot board may not start inspection of defective ballots until the day after date of election in which defective ballots were cast, and that after that date, when defective ballot board has begun, will the county clerk permit authorized persons to watch the inspection of the ballots. It removes requirement that county clerk keep number of ballots that does not exceed 5% of total number of ballots mailed for use as potential replacement ballots. We have a no revenue impact on the original measure. We do not have a fiscal impact on the original measure nor on the -1 amendment.
Okay, thank you, Aaron, for that explanation. And do we have a sign-up sheet on this bill?
We do.
Oh, boy. Okay, we have quite a few people signed up to testify. Senator Farioli, this is your bill. You're the chief sponsor. Did you want to kick off?
I think what I'd like to do is listen to the testimony.
Great. Well, then we shall do that. Okay, so I'll call Ruth Bendel, Bev Hames, and Roxanne Ross, if the three of you would like to come forward. And whoever wants to go first, go ahead.
Okay, I'll start. Thank you, Madam Chair and Committee. My name is Roxanne Ross. I live in Gresham. I was volunteering at the Multnomah County Elections Office, and I was upstairs where they were doing the ballot enhancements. And it was explained that I had to stay behind these stanchions, and there were chairs there, and that it was the four people that were working on enhancing these ballots were of more than one party. In other words, at least one of them had to be in a party other than the other three. And what that makeup or how many parties were represented wasn't known, and that you couldn't know which person was in which party. Well, these ladies with the four, they had one gal at one end of the table filing, and then the other three were doing the ballot enhancements. So there was no assurance that the one person that was the other party wasn't the one filing at the other end of the table while the other three were doing the ballot enhancements. So I'm behind a stanchion. I can't see anything that's happening on that table, but I can hear what they're saying, and the one lady opens it up and she says, "Oh, well, this is obviously a ballot for such and such." And then the other lady leans over and looks at it and says, "Oh, no, I think obviously the intent was the other way. It should be a vote the other way." And then the other lady agreed with her, and then the one looked real, the first one that had said, you know, obviously the vote was one way, and it was getting contradicted by the other two, she looked really nervous, and she looked over at me, and then she said, "Well, okay." And so they enhanced the ballot that way. Well, as an observer, You can't tell what's going on. You can't see the ballot. You can't tell whether we have a bipartisan review of that ballot. There was, and this is well before the election. So, you know, I mean, these ballot enhancements were happening a week before the election. So you would literally have to have someone there at all the hours that the election office was open during that week. You have to have enough people to staff where they were doing the ballot enhancements and staff where they were doing the other things, the opening of ballots and stuff. It made it very hard for you to monitor the election. And isn't monitoring the elections one of the things that's so unique about us, that we care so much about our democracy, that we do monitor them just to show the world that we are above board with our elections, to show ourselves that we're above board with our elections? Well, it didn't seem very above board when I was watching that. And I think this bill would have a huge impact on that. Now you just have all the ballot enhancements happening the day after. There's so much more accountability, so much more visibility to what would be happening. And it would be easier for a variety of parties to have their observers there, because it would be that designated time instead of over the whole week prior to the elections. We really need this bill just to show that we, just to remove that appearance of impropriety. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Please go ahead.
I'm Ruth Bendel. With regard to my testimony, I'm not going to read it, but I'll follow on with Roxanne by saying that it was the idea of our former elections director in Washington County that came up with the proposal that is being inserted in this bill, that there is a delay as far as dealing with enhancements and ballot duplications, and that at that time, because of recount rules, that the observers actually sit at the table. This has been in effect in Washington County without any complaints that I know of since 2005, and it works really well. People are always willing to come and volunteer to observe and monitor the process when they know that they're not sitting at the far end of a room, which is where we sit when it comes to the pre-election date time. So I do urge that you pass this bill. I'd like to suggest a couple of other things that are dealt with in this bill, but not specifically. Number one, the number of ballots and reporting of the numbers and the like. In the larger counties, I know it's a mailing house that has the numbers and could be reporting right from the beginning how many ballots they've issued, etc., to the elections office. And with respect to this, I would urge that undeliverable ballots go to the mailing house, and they can report how many are undeliverable and the correct addresses that they get from the post office, and they can get all that information quite early, because undeliverables do come back pretty early. That would save us from having a lot of unused ballots sitting around the elections office, and respect the golden rule that you don't want unused ballots lying around. I would also recommend that when it comes to duplicate ballots, that those ballots should be a different color. I don't like enhancements anyway, but if you have duplicate ballots in a different color, the defective ballot boards could be using those duplicate ballots, and they would never have to touch the actual ballot. They would just read from one ballot to the other. The other beauty of delaying the enhancements is that, particularly in Washington County, there are no pens or pencils that can be read by the vote counting machines on the table. the only pen that's available is a specific color that cannot be read by the machine, and one person does a tally. So if we all recall what happened in Clackamas County, where the lady was sitting there and filling the unused ovals, the undervotes, let's protect the undervotes as well. With this policy. And my final statement is about the ballot drop sites. We're living in the year 2014. It's our word against the election office's word, whether it's we use a ballot drop site or whether we use the post office for getting our ballots in. Please, fewer and fewer people are relying on the post office these days. They're using the ballot drop site. Could we not have some system on the drop site that would be scanning the barcodes on the outer envelope? Because then it's on record, just as it was at the polling places, that that person did vote. What's the point of saying, track my vote, and going to that business, and then you find that you're not listed as having voted? You have no say in the matter. So, again, let's live within our times and make sure that those ballot drop sites, there is a record right away of who has voted, and that will deter anybody from doing anything exploiting the situation that can be exploited with the pickup and delivery of the ballot. I hope you do pass this bill, and I'm deeply grateful that you're considering it. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony. How about if we wait till we've heard from the panel, and then we'll take questions? Go ahead.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Bev Haynes. I've been an observer at the elections office and also at ballot drop sites, and I concur with Roxanne's testimony and Ruth's testimony. I'm here today testifying in favor of Senate Bill 1564, and I thank you, Senator Ferrioli. This bill is long overdue. I urge you to vote yes on Senate Bill 1564.
Great. Okay. Senator Beyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Bendel, I'm curiosity question. You said Washington County's been doing this for a number of years?
Yes. Yes, since 2005.
Since 2005?
Yes.
So in the last general election, do you have a sense, were they able to count all the ballots in a single day? I meant the addition. Were they able to deal with the corrections in a single day?
They did. They usually do the enhancements and duplications not on the Wednesday, because they're usually up until 3 in the morning finishing the count. It's usually a Thursday and Friday that they're doing that they're dealing with the enhancements. The people that are doing the enhancements, it's usually 2 or 3 tables. They're usually staff or retired staff that come in, and we're allowed to have 2 people at each side of the table. Now, we're not breathing down their necks, but it's clear that we can see what's on the ballot, and they usually read out the results to us.
I was more interested in how long it took them to do it. Washington County is a large county, so that would be an indicator.
No, sometimes they get through in half a day.
Okay.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you all for your testimony.
Here.
Next, I'll call Janice Deisinger, Sandy Radu, and Mac Woods, if the three of you would like to come forward. Welcome back.
Hi there.
Go right ahead.
Hi, I'm Janice Deisinger, and thank you for hearing me, Madam Chair, and members of the committee. I want to say thank you very much for this bill. This is an awesome bill, and I appreciate it very much. It improves accounting function for the elections, and that boosts our confidence in the election process. It allows observers throughout the state to have the same ability that the folks in Washington County have, and so that I know I am in contact with people in other counties that are frustrated about their ability to observe, and so it would encourage other people to become observers, and I just am very much in favor of this bill, and I hope you pass it. Please, please, please pass it.
Thank you. Thank you for your brevity, too. Please go ahead.
Good morning. My name is Sandy Radu.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I am also in favor of this bill. I live in Washington County. I am an election observer, and quite often I will spend the entire enhancement time at the election office, or at least several hours per day on the days they're doing it. This process is extremely open. It's extremely observable. It leaves no question and no doubt as to the disposition of the ballots that need to be either enhanced or duplicated. Although the election workers don't actually share what they're looking at with us, because we're sitting at the same table, it makes it incredibly easy to follow. And the way the process works, at least in Washington County, we are able to ask questions of the supervisor, not the election workers at the table, but of the supervisor, and we've actually been able to clarify some of the rules in some of the elections and some of the decisions that are being made because of this process, and I highly encourage it. I was stunned to find out the rest of the state didn't do it that way. I would highly encourage this wonderful process to go through, and thank you, Senator Farioli, for introducing the bill. Thank you.
Madam Chair, again, I'm MacArthur Woods, Canby. Sorry about that. Modern technology. However, I was able to set in on a court case filed by Attorney James Buechel in Multnomah County on this very problem, voter fraud, the unused ballots, what they did with them and how they used them. I had the opportunity to hear intricate details of how corrupt it was. Yet in front of a Multnomah County circuit judge, they dismissed the case because they get to judge. And then I'm here to tell you, I see things coming from some judges they think they're above the law. They don't go by the law. They go by what they want to do, and it stands. That's another big, big problem. So I totally support this bill, as everyone else has, and I think you do too, common sense. But sometimes with some of the judges and politicians, common sense just not too common anymore. So with that in mind, sir, I appreciate your efforts, and we support you. The military does. There's a lot of military still here able to vote, and we're going to do exactly that for the betterment of all in this state and hopefully in this country. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you for your testimony. Any questions for these witnesses? Okay, I don't see any. Thank you again. And next I'll call Brad Morrison, Rebecca Roth, and Les Poole, if the three of you would like to come forward. Whoever wants to go first, just go right ahead.
I guess I'll go first. I'm Rebecca Roth in Salem, Oregon. And whenever I vote my ballot, if I don't want to have anybody fill in for me, I always cross it out. But a lot of people are not aware that they should do that, because anybody can sign up to work in the election offices. You don't have to pass any kind of a morality test or an ethics test to be in the election offices functioning there. And it's important that we get rules in place that account for people who would sign up to enhance ballots or change ballots. Now, I personally think that in my observation of it, I've seen ballots come in that are just totally written all over with snide comments, Mickey Mouse, drawing pretty pictures on the ballot. And if a person wants to use their ballot that way, it's their right to use it that way and not have anybody else enhance it. Abraham Lincoln said that there's no man good enough to govern another man without that man's consent. And when we send in our ballots and somebody enhances our ballot, they're governing against our consent. So it's important that I would like to see us not be enhancing ballots at all, because if a person chooses not to fill in something or fills in something twice, that's their right. And who else has the right to enhance that ballot? But if there's going to be such a horrid thing going on as ballot enhancement, it needs to be as absolutely controlled as possible. And I love this idea, because not because I want balance enhanced, but because if people are going to be doing that, we need to control it. And there's no man good enough to govern another man.
without their consent.
Thank you. Les Poole, Gladstone, Clackamas County. And I do recall what occurred in Clackamas County. The good news was that only a few of those ballots were altered before it was caught. One of the reasons that it was caught was there were observers there. And since that time, Sherry Hall has done a really good job of even further improving the camera security and the measures that they take in Clackamas County. Regarding Mr. Wood's comments about the Multnomah County lawsuit that he found really questionable, for the record, that lawsuit was filed because Multnomah County was not obeying a state law to destroy unused ballots. I believe it's within a few minutes or immediately after the polls close. I think it's really it's an invitation to trouble to not have a process that very, very carefully tracks every ballot, whether it's in process, whether it's received prior to the election, whether it comes in election day, and what we do with the ballots that are unused. I want to give kudos to Ruth Bendel. She's a real trooper. She's a walking encyclopedia on voter integrity. Certainly, when you hear from Ruth, you know she's done her homework. She speaks for a lot of us. The last thing I wanted to mention is that vote by mail, you know, I seem like I'm stuck on a vote by mail because it's what led us here. I'm not opposed to vote by mail, but we all know that as people are turning in ballots, those that haven't voted receive contact, they receive input, get your ballot in, they get messages calling them, and I'm all fine with that. And I'm not totally opposed to the idea of third-party people picking up and delivering ballots, but there's really no check or balance there. And I'll cite an example and close. I recall very well in 2002, vote by mail hadn't really been around that long, and there was a recall attempt on the mayor of Wilsonville, Charlotte Lehan. And there was a elected government official out collecting ballots on her own recall. I understand that's no longer allowed, but again, I'm not here to beat up on Charlotte. What I'm here to say is that when really critical issues are on the line, sometimes folks do things they wouldn't normally do. And when things get emotional and political and people are fired up, sometimes their ethics or their integrity starts to wane. And that's unfortunate, but it happens in our society. So I really support this. I want to thank Senator Farioli. Made sure I pronounced your name right, for introducing it. And just a general question. We look at the hearing we just concluded, and now we look at this measure and we say, okay, let's say we do all of these things, and 4 years down the road, all of this goes out the window because we're suddenly voting on computers. So the two issues are somewhat tied together, and the slope that we're on needs to be watched closely. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks. Brad Morrison, Woodburn. Thanks for the opportunity to speak. Again, I had a shot to look this over last night, and there's a lot of good parts to this bill. I like what it has to say. I would say personally, I reflect the views of a lot of folks here. I'm not real thrilled with the whole vote-by-mail system and a lot of the holes that I see in it. I prefer that my ballot be treated like national security, and when it goes from my hands to the post office to the counting point, I want to know that there's armed guards around that thing. I don't see that kind of security around my ballot, and that bothers me. So this is a minimal step in the right direction, in my opinion, but at least it is a step in the right direction. I am disappointed that during the last session we didn't pass more of this type of legislation, and it was good legislation, and it was simple legislation. So I'd be very encouraged to see this move forward. And with that, I conclude.
Thank you all for your testimony. Any questions? Okay, thank you again. And we have one more person signed up to testify on this bill, and it is Rob Bovet, if you'd like to come forward.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, again, for the record, Rob Bovet, legal counsel for the Oregon Association of County Clerks. Unfortunately, I think I have to be the wet rag here. I understand all the laudable goals. I really do. That's the clerks get it. But the clerks believe that basically every section of this bill, even with the dash ones, will create a procedural obstacle that will create extra work and efficiency and extra costs and delayed results. That being said, the clerks are more than happy to work with the good senator throughout the interim. I think, in fact, some of them have a meeting with him on June 13th to talk about the concerns and maybe work on something that we can all bring forward to feel good about. But the Oregon Association of County Clerks is opposed to this bill.
Okay, thank you for your testimony. Any questions? And that completes our list of witnesses on Senate Bill 1564. I don't see anybody else jumping up to testify. Members, and so I'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 1564. Members, we don't have paperwork on Senate Bill 1564. We also don't have paperwork on the first bill that we heard yet, and we are meeting again tomorrow morning at 8:30. So we can, do I need to carry these bills over? We can post, we're on 1 hour notice now anyway. So.
Yes, Madam Chair, on the 1 hour notice we can revise our agenda and post bills from today onto it.
Great. So, members, with nothing further to come before us today, we are adjourned.